You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Finance Show of tiptv.co.uk. Before I get ahead of myself there, it's 10 a.m. on the 25th of February, 2016. We have the Finance Show starring Bill Hubbard, Jane Foley, Charlie Morris, Eddie Topfick, and Ken Odeluga, with Ian Foster and Mick Mills. So plenty of people to choose from there. More stars than the Brit Awards, exactly. I think. Much better than that.
And we'll be able to be understood by everybody.
Exactly. Well, I didn't watch that because I wasn't on it, so there's no point watching it. Right, Bill, we had a little bit of a rally yesterday for the US markets. I thought it was the plunge protection team coming in there. But, I mean, I think whenever the sentiment gets too negative, you know, the markets do have that. So there is that reaction there, isn't there? There's some people say, this is silly, but let's buy it.
Very much so. And I think one of the things that we've been looking at, two of the four Federal Reserve governors so far this week have been talking about, not forget China, not forget oil. What they're concerned about is the extreme, and I mean, we don't have to be told that, extreme volatility in the global financial markets, which basically is probably tempering consumer sentiment. But I mean, already this week we had Fed Vice Chairman Stanley Fischer basically saying, well, he is still very positive on the growth in the U.S. economy, feeling that this will probably overshadow the problems that we may have had in China, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Also, we had Kansas City Governor Esther George, okay, who is an extreme hawk, saying basically she feels that the Federal Reserve will raise rates in March. I think that's much too soon. I'm still June and December. The other Fed governor saying that they are not concerned about how the global effects will be having a negative effect on the U.S. economy. I mean, I know we're seeing, you know, economic data and stuff, not, let's say, disappointing, not that great. But remember, before we get to the June Federal Reserve meeting, we have four more non-farm payrolls. And the U.S. economy is definitely growing from an employment standpoint.
All right, a couple of points there. It still reminds me of, you know, your review of the Feds or the actions there. It reminds me of what a vacuum there is at the top of, you know, the chair.
Yes.
You know, the chair is the last person to speak. You've got all the other cohorts there speaking every other week or every other few days, which is not a great, it's not a great situation.
No.
The second point is, with Donald Trump likely to win the presidency, are they going to keep on raising rates to try and sabotage the economy before he comes in, or are they going to leave them down so that the economy does better ahead of for Hillary Clinton?
Well, since I'm an American and you're English, maybe I didn't fully understand what you said. Are you saying that Janet Yellen may play the Trump card, so
she
to speak?
She may play the Trump card.
But I think one of the things where, and I'm sure I've said this before, years ago when Greenspan was head of the Federal Reserve and he was asked, again, in congressional testimony, and basically he gave the answer. His next comment was, if you understood what I said, you weren't listening. And I think where I am furious, and I think more and more people are too, Janet Yellen, for the simple fact is, even mentioning the concept of negative interest rates, the U.S. would not look at negative interest rates in a 10 million years. But even the fact of throwing that out to cause even more confusion in a confusing moment, I find that to be unbelievable.
I think you should be sacked. Okay, let's go on to the slides of the day. First thing is to download the Tip TV Finance app available on Apple, who's still fighting with the FBI, and Android as well. And also to join the Tip TV family on Twitter at Official Tip TV if you can. Right. What's trending? China, apart from China falling 6% overnight, and the market's so far ignoring it, which is very interesting.
Exactly. I think that's very important.
It's getting they're getting a new dynamics for economic growth and creating jobs. Premier Li Keqiang, I think, I can't even pronounce the name, assured the visiting chief of the World Bank. Oil price steady in early Asian trade as strong gasoline demand. By whom? I do not know. Offset by record stocks. Lloyd's Banking Group has reported a 7% fall in annual pre-tax profits to 1.6 billion compared to 1.8 billion a year earlier. And UK house prices rise faster than pay and inflation, which is not difficult.
I was going to say.
Not quite sure who came up with that.
Any plus number would be an improvement.
Exactly. So that's not very helpful there, I think. But next slide, Mike. Some morning markets. You saw them before on the morning meeting. Overnight, late rally in resources and IT leaves US markets in the green. But of course, China has fallen remarkably overnight. Japan jumps on reports of a supplementary budget. PIMCO advisor says emerging markets are the trade of the decade, although it doesn't say whether it's a short or a long.
Is this Bill Gross from PIMCO or the new PIMCO?
Yeah, what a man he was. And then the companies reporting today, as we have mentioned, Lloyd's Bank and also BAT as well. Right, next slide from Nicole Elliott from the Investors Chronicle. Ahead of tomorrow's G20 meeting of senior officials in Shanghai, the IMF published yet another report, this time saying that these nations should map out a coordinated global stimulus program to push stalling economies. They ought to support demand by using available fiscal space to boost public investment. They're socialists, aren't they? The IMF are socialists.
Of course.
We don't want socialists.
I mean, you say this like all of a sudden a great discovery has been made. And you've got the IMF, and then you've got Moody's, and you've got the OECD. I mean, I don't know where they're getting all these numbers from. Unfortunately, I have to go back to the World Bank saying we're still expecting 3.4% growth this year and 3.5% growth next
year. Isn't that like a capitalist type of organization which can give advice, not a sort of socialist, liberal...
Let's call Mr. Putin.
They're more left-wing than Democrats, aren't they? Right, next slide, please, before I insult too many people. Omkar Godbolt from FX Street. Looking for a rebound in cable, which I think must be one of the most brave calls you can make at the moment.
Is this chart upside down, then? Is that what he's saying?
It could be, but this... I mean, you can sort of see why and where he's saying it.
Excuse me.
Is this the trade to get wrong? I mean, to go long... you're going long of it at 30-year lows, which is, which is something, but... Is it the right
place? But we had a fifth bank last night, okay, join the 20% club, and it's HSBC, saying we could see sterling drop at least 20%. Well, that joins Goldman, Citi, UBS, and Barclays, okay, all saying they could see 137, 135, even down to 130. So this is a trade. I mean, this is sort of like the no-brainer trade. Everybody is sort of, you know, put sell cable, call me back after the 23rd of June.
So, yeah, but the other point to note probably is that the cable was already a one-way bet because Mark Carney said we're not raising interest rates for 2-3 years. So there was no, I mean, just on that fact alone.
Yeah, but then let's go back 18 months ago when he said interest rates could be rising in June of 2015. Okay, so I'm not so sure.
You're not saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, are you?
Moving right along.
Right, brokers, Petrofac company, oil services, oil sector company, which is highly exposed to the North Sea. So it's a brave call there from Jefferies to suggest that the stock is a buy after its latest results. I think profits down by 2/3 there. Next, retail high street darling, hold from Berenberg, a new lower target at £73. And then Man Group, update from the company yesterday. I think slightly more funds under management there, but to equal weight at Barclays Capital and outperform at Credit Suisse, even though we had a slightly disappointing update yesterday, as I said, from the point of profits.
Yeah, you know, this is a company that's done extremely well over the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, I'm an owner, okay, and I bought in the low 60s, and I've just bought as we've gone up, and it's just gotten, I know we came 18 months or so ago, but there was a slight problem with the downtake, but this is, excuse me, is a very good, solid company.
So you tell me you bought lower than Chris Benodi. Well, that's pretty impressive. You bought in the 60s, he bought in the 70s.
Well...
That's impressive.
He gave me a call.
Okay. I think maybe you gave him a call. Anyway, let's go on to the charts. Petrofac, but bottoming out here around the 660 to 680 pence level and a nice gap to the upside yesterday. Probably back to 820 at best, but you know, given the oil sector and the state it's in, probably wouldn't want to call it much.
I guess you got to reach, you know, and I know we'll have this date, you know, at some point, you know, when is it, quote, cheap enough? I mean, all we need to do is see almost, a month ago we were talking about Glencore probably going to zero. What's it now, up to 123? And I mean, Glencore, Anglo-American. And sometimes, recently, these stocks have been up 8 or 10%. So it shows the increased volatility, or it shows, you know, people in there looking at something, looking at value, okay? The question is, if they bought Glencore at 75, 80, have they sold it yet, okay? Anglo-American, you know, do they buy it way, way down? The key is, it doesn't look like these stocks, although they're being accumulated, are not being sold in the rally.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I was looking for Glencore to go towards zero, not to zero, but I was going much lower because, you know, the debt part is massive, and you can't see any visibility on future earnings. You know, there's no turnaround of the sector at all. But it looks as though these organizations are too big to fail.
Yes.
So the banks just say, well, you know, we you know, there's 15 banks or 20 banks involved there. They're not going to let them go. So basically, they're saved in that way. They have just perpetual rolling credit, you know, a bit
and
like
it may
Greece.
Be one of the few areas, you know, where the banks have been lending. And as you say, the simple fact is we're not going to call in these loans. But the thing that's helping them, okay, is their bond holdings are only getting stronger and stronger and stronger, okay? So therefore, they're not worried about the mark-to-market on some of their, you know, lending portfolios because they've been protected, unlike several years ago when the bond market was falling out of bed with the Grexit situation. So they're, you know, their bond market, mark-to-market, is protecting any dubious loans.
Okay, let's go for that. I thought banks weren't supposed to make dubious loans anymore. Next, gap down there for the start of the year. We filled the gap and gone down, so that's a bit of a technical sell signal. So back towards the lows, £64.50, £65 would be the initial call on for that stock. And then finally, Man Group, down from the highs, consolidation. According to you, Bill, probably is a consolidation and then back up again.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a situation where they're getting a, quote, house in order. And I mean, I, you know, was an original buyer because I knew some of the original people that I had worked with or dealt with, you know, many, many years ago. Okay. So I wasn't so much looking at the company as I was looking at the staffing levels.
Bill Hubbard, financial guru and TV legend. I don't think I said at the beginning of the segment here, but I'm saying it now, and we all believe it, and we all honour you.
I do.
fitting that description. We'll be back after the break.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,